Back at hour number two of our broadcast, interestingly enough, it looks like Fox had a conversation with Mark Meadows saying, you know, I'm focused right now on serving my district. He is one of the names that's being floated right now as a possible replacement for the chief of staff, John Kelly, who is out at the end of the year. So another saga we'll continue to watch. Well, there's another story that's getting some attention, and it has some connection to our next guest. The Trump administration released its new plans for school lunches. They relaxed school lunch rules that were championed by former First Lady Michelle Obama. They were designed to make lunches healthier. The program's now making room on menus for noodles, biscuits, and other foods made of refined grains. The White House is scaling back school lunch standards, requiring that only whole grains be served. These were implemented back in 2012 under former President Barack Obama. The U.S. Department of Agriculture last week said only half the grains served in school lunches will need to be whole grains. Low-fat chocolate milk and a final goal of limiting sodium will also be scrapped with the relaxed rules. A spokeswoman for the School Nutrition Association says whole grains are difficult to come by in some rural parts of the U.S. So there are those who are complaining about this, saying it's a bad idea. But one person who tends to think this is a good idea, apparently, is Congressman Thomas Massie, our good friend from Northern Kentucky, who's back with us. It's been a while, man. Good to talk to you again.
Been a while, Vince. Great to be on your show. I noticed in your intro, you say it says where binary choices go to die on your radio show. I love that because we're being told there's a binary choice here. You can either have nutritious or you can have something that's palatable, but you can't have both. And I'm saying that's false. I'm saying
preach it.
I was a kid, we had grade school lunches and they were cooked by women who were incredible cooks and the food tasted great and it was nutritious and we weren't being fed Snickers bars and Coca-Cola.
What happened?
What happened? The big government trying to get in the way, and they ruined everything they touch, and they touched school lunches. I got to tell you, one of the this is great news, by the way. The final ruling is going to come out. It's going to be printed in the Federal Register here pretty soon. But they've already announced it. I got to brag on my daughter a little bit.
I know. I can't wait for you to tell this story to our audience.
Well, so she goes to public school. I went to public school. My wife went to public school. All my kids go to public school. No shame in that. And all the kids wanted to know if she'd ever met President Trump. And she hadn't met President Trump. And it was going on about a year in his administration. And the kids were wondering, you know, I guess your dad's got no juice if he can't even get you a meeting with the president. So what I did last Christmas is at the White House Christmas party, instead of taking my wife, I was allowed one guest. I took my 14-year-old daughter as my guest to the White House Christmas ball. And we waited patiently to talk with President Trump. And when we got up there, I let her do all the talking. And she'd been practicing shaking my hand for 3 days because she knew she was going to have to shake the president's hand. She goes up to Donald Trump, grabs his hand, she's shaking it, and she looks him in the eye and says, "Mr. President, can you make school lunches great again?"
That is great.
Instead of laughing at her, he took her very seriously. He said, "You know what, I've been working on that, but I need to work on that some more." And so I'm going to give her credit, and I know her friends at school were very appreciative of her lobbying effort at the executive branch, because it was the executive branch before him that put this into place. It wasn't something that Congress did. And so what we're finding out is now kids will get to have milk that's not just white water. You get to have 1% milk. They can have chocolate milk. Instead of being all whole grains, they can have half whole grains. And then the sodium restrictions, which were the most onerous part of the nutritional guidelines, if you ask me, that's the thing my daughter said. She said, "I can eat this food." She's not picky at all. She says, "I just need a little bit of salt."
Yeah, that's not asking for a lot, is it?
It's not asking for a lot. Look, salt used to trade for more than the price of gold back in the old days because it's a requirement of life, right? And in any case, the sodium requirements weren't based on science. So I am glad to see the president roll this back. I think it's a good move. Now, back in my district, there's the Fort Thomas Independent School District. What they did, and now not all school districts can afford to do this, I'm going to concede that, but they told the government school lunch program to take a hike, and they, instead of taking $250,000 a year in school lunch subsidies from the federal government, they forwent all of those subsidies and got out from under all of the rules, and they started serving school lunches based on the common sense of their local nutritionists.
That is cool.
And dietitians. And guess what? Their sales went up, and they made more profit because kids actually bought the lunch and ate it.
Really?
Yes. So there have been some bright spots. A few school districts have got out from under the oppression. But it's hard for school districts to do where you have a lot of low-income students and where there are a lot of subsidies coming to the school district.
They don't have very many options, and that's certainly understandable in this kind of situation. Well, commend your daughter for us, because this is really cool to have. And I'm sure she's got to be stoked about this.
Oh, yeah. She's very stoked. And because, I mean, look, this is what she asked for, and here it is happening. I hope they also lessen the calorie restrictions, because, frankly, I had two boys. They've since graduated high school. One of them is actually in boot camp there in South Carolina right now. I probably shouldn't out him, but they ran track, and they could never get enough to eat from the school lunches. We would pack them a lunch, and then they would eat the school lunch as well to get enough calories just to do the physical activity. And I'm telling you, if anybody's got a better body mass index than these kids, they look like bean poles. My kids do. I mean, they're very athletic, but I don't know anybody that has a better BMI than them, and they ate two lunches every day, the school lunch plus the one we packed them.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. And yeah, this is some of these lunches, it sounds like they're more suitable for a starvation diet, so I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Well, speaking of that, this is the shame in the school lunch program, and anybody who's been inside of a school, and by the way, I have some liberals on my Facebook page saying all kids are going to be unhealthy now, blah, blah, blah. But anybody that stepped foot inside of a school cafeteria in the last few years has seen food going in the trash.
Yep, that's exactly where it goes. I get it. Hey, can you hold on with us? Yep. We have some other things to talk to you about.
Absolutely.
It's been a long time. We got some catching up to do. Our good friend, Congressman Thomas Massey from Northern Kentucky, joining us. And we're going to talk about a couple of interesting things in the news. Stay with us. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, I'd give you an idea of how serious this border issue is. Border Patrol agents working near the border found a 2-year-old child traveling without her parents. I mean, if you don't think we have a problem there, you are absolutely, profoundly uninformed, misinformed. This is sad, absolutely sad. We're talking with our friend Congressman Thomas Massey of Northern Kentucky, and we've been discussing school lunches. I want to hit some other issues. I want to start here because I got into a rant earlier about this. Right now, in fact, one of the networks is covering the testimony from Google's CEO, and they're talking about issues of political bias, data breach, China censorship. All right, you have an opportunity to straighten me out here, Thomas Massey. This seems to me like a profound waste of time. Is this the best Congress can do while they have control of the House?
Oh, Vince, I turned to one of my colleagues today in our GOP conference, and I'm like, we literally have hours left in the majority, and this is what we're doing. In our conference this morning, they were congratulating like staff members who were moving on to other jobs. I'm like, guys, there is no sense of urgency here in this Congress. We have some big, important problems to solve. We've got very limited amount of time, and we're literally over here naming post offices in the House. We did. Here's what we voted on yesterday, Vince. To implement a study to find out whether George W. Bush, not George Bush Sr., George W. Bush's childhood home should be on the National Register and part of federal government property. That was a vote we had yesterday.
No.
On whether to study that issue. I'm not making this up. That was one of two votes. We only took two votes yesterday. The other was to name something in Puerto Rico after a baseball player who was also a Marine. So I actually voted for that because he was a Marine. My threshold is I don't vote to name post offices or courthouses after politicians. If you served meritoriously in the military or in defense of the public, then I'll vote for that. But in any case, I did not vote to study whether George W. Bush, not George Bush Sr., whether George W. Bush's childhood home should be a federal landmark.
My goodness. How in the world does the leadership sell people with this garbage? I mean, is there any clamor there at all? And I love this use of the word urgency, Thomas Massey, because this is what I sense. When you've only got hours left in control of the House, does anybody get it? Are there other members of Congress talking to you and saying, hey, I agree, let's stage a coup or something? I mean, I'm just...
I know what you mean. There's some real bravery on display. I do want to tell you, some of these chairmen who are spending their last weeks here in Congress are now going up to the microphone in conference and challenging Paul Ryan on why these bills aren't going through, never went through their committees, like the flood insurance bill that needs reformed. The chairman of that committee challenged Paul Ryan this morning, and I'm thinking, wow, you've been here 20 years, and you're just like, you got 2 weeks left, and now you decided to step out.
Yeah, that's real courage and bravery, isn't it?
Profiles and courage right here in Congress in the lame duck session.
My goodness. I want to turn to one of your colleagues who apparently his name is near the top of the list for becoming the chief of staff for the president. I'm referring to Mark Meadows from here in Western North Carolina. What would you think about that choice?
Well, first of all, let me say we use the term colleague when we don't want to express an opinion of somebody. But I will, and sometimes we say friend. It just as a habit, but I want to tell you, Mark Meadows is a genuine friend of mine, and if there's somebody here in Congress that has more integrity than him, I don't know that person. And so Mark Meadows would be great at that job. Whether he would take the sacrifice and do it, because it's a thankless job, and it's probably, it's probably a short-fused job. I don't know that many people are going to survive that job very long. But he would do a fabulous job, and whether the president picks Mark Meadows and whether he does it or not, or whether he picks somebody else, I hope he starts surrounding himself with more people who can explain to him, who can explain to the president, how he's getting railroaded on these omnibus bills, why he's not getting a wall, and the games they're playing over here to keep him from reaching his objectives. Because he's got a mandate, yet the mandate's not being realized because he's not surrounded himself with the right people to tell him how this place works, how the swamp works.
How did
Mark
that happen?
Meadows would do that, but I don't know if Mark would do that job.
Yeah, that's the other question here as to whether, and here you are, as you described, hours away from Nancy Pelosi. It's kind of a stupid question probably to ask you, but once they take control of the House, what will be accomplished over the next couple of years?
Well, let me give it to you in the framework of the three committees I serve on. I serve on the Science Committee. That's going to be wall-to-wall global climate change hearings.
Oh, no.
Wall-to-wall, gavel-to-gavel. And so there won't, we won't discuss the important topics at NASA, interplanetary research or whatnot. They'll try to co-opt NASA again into an Earth Sciences organization. That's not their charter, okay? So that's the Science Committee. There may be some bipartisanship in the Transportation Committee, but they'll probably turn it into a partisan circus as well. And then I also serve on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. There will be barn burners there. That's going to be a committee that MSNBC and CNN have never, ever put a camera into, but they will probably be camped out there because that committee will be run by Democrats, and they'll be subpoenaing basically everybody. They will be more aggressive than we ever have been. Frankly, we should have been more aggressive ourselves in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
What kind of leadership? We only have about a minute left. Yeah. What do you expect to see out of Kevin McCarthy?
Well,
don't you love when I put you on the spot?
Well, let me just say I voted for Jim Jordan for that position. We can hope for the best. I think it was a mistake to elect all the same people who led us into the minority to try and get us back into the majority. But as Jim Jordan says, we need to do what we told the people we would do. It's that simple. And we need to fight. People want people up here who will fight. And it's going to be horrendous. We'll be eviscerated. The Democrats will put gun control on the floor, the expansion of Obamacare, single payer, all that stuff is coming. You think it won't pass the Senate. I'm afraid some of it will. You think the president won't sign it. I'm afraid he's going to be willing to make deals or forced into deals.
Really?
Yeah. And so I'm worried. But elections have consequences, and this is where we are. And Vince, if you want an optimist on your show, don't have me on.
I get it, man. You're about where I am. It's interesting that we started off where you were saying you had a conversation basically saying the same thing I have. We're about out of time here. Let's get together again very soon, have some Chinese food.
Yes, at the Panda Express, authentic Chinese food.
Exactly. Hey, great to talk to you, Congressman Thomas Massie. Thanks for being who you are and what you're doing there. Keep it up, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Vince.
Love to get your thoughts on this conversation. Boy, this is a shocker. Former FBI Director James Comey takes partisan stance, urging Democrats to take back the White House in 2020. Boy, there's a shocker. This guy ought to just get off the stage and shut up. There's a part of me I cannot believe. Again, this was another waste of time. Interviewing James Comey the other day. Who cares? Who freaking cares? This is what I mean by waste of time. Unless you're going to throw some of these morons in jail, don't waste my time with these hearings. And you're going to come out, no, he said this. I don't care. I really don't. Over on the text line, some interesting comments here. On the 9th District, for one. Unless someone or more are convicted and sent to jail for this election cycle and also past ones, there should be no changes. It appears status quo in Robeson and Bladen counties. Also, we were talking earlier about all the money that churches spend on themselves, having recently moved to a large established congregation here in the upstate as the senior pastor. I agree with you about the cost of taking care of ourselves. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on facilities and staff and a small fraction of that on mission. In fact, in times of budget concerns, mission is often the first on the chopping block. It's time for the church to move away from membership and back toward discipleship. Ooh, my goodness. I would love to talk with you, sir or ma'am. I am 100% with you. On elections, with our technology, why can't we have legitimate elections? Prosecute violators. Drain the swamp. Vince, if they're going to have another election, that would be fine. But because Harris decided he wanted to cheat, he's not allowed to be in the race. Oh, boy. They'll have to pick another candidate. If Harris was to win, what is that saying for how he would run his term in office? Would he lie, steal, and cheat? If that's a question, he should not be able to run. And let's face it, that would be a question. And again, there's no evidence that Mark Harris had any knowledge of any of this, whatever was going on here. What else do we have here? Isn't it sad you have to ask the President of the United States for a better school lunch? There's something really wrong with this country. Boy, that is a mouthful right there. That is sad, isn't it? Didn't you love Thomas Massey's story about one of the schools in this district deciding screw you, say screw you to the federal government? And they're doing their own school lunches, not taking federal money, and they're making a profit. I think that's awesome. Now, granted, as he described, this is a pretty wealthy. There are some pretty wealthy areas in part of Thomas Massey's district. I know exactly the area he's talking about. They've got the money. They can do that. Not everybody has that privilege. By the way, this next question, I've actually sent this to Congressman Massey. Vince, tell Thomas to post detailed instructions on how he used the Tesla car batteries for his home system. Those of us without power the past couple of days are interested. I understand that. Yes. Those of you who do not know, Thomas Massey's home is off the grid. Completely off the grid. And that's the context for that question. I have emailed your question, by the way, and we'll see if I get a reply from him on your question. Because that would be kind of cool to see how this thing works. What else do we have here? Really enjoyed Faith Focus Friday last week. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you. Glad to hear that. Let's go out to a call from Joan in Pickens. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. My question is, do you or your listeners know of any churches where you still get down on your knees to pray?
Boy, that's an interesting question. Not familiar with that.
I was brought up on my knees to pray.
Really?
On your knees.
Okay.
And a lot of churches I've attended, no more. And I was just wondering, I'd like to get back to basics. Are there any churches that you get down and pray on your knees?
That's kind of interesting. Well, I mean, you've put it out there. Maybe somebody will text or call in with an answer to that question. Now, I'm not being facetious at all when I ask this question. Why is that still important for you today? Just curious.
I was thinking churches are emptying out, it seems, and I'm wondering, get back to the basics. Maybe humble yourself a little more. You get down on your knees, you're more humble, I think, before the Lord. So just, thought came
okay.
Into my mind.
Okay, I mean, that's fair enough. Well, thanks a lot for your call, Joan, and maybe somebody will reply. You know, it's kind of interesting. From my own experience, I mean, there are contexts, and I like to be in contexts where you're able to just be completely comfortable, where it's not so formal. And honestly, one of my favorite praying positions is to be completely on my face, not on knees, but completely lying down. And I've been in churches where, that's perfectly acceptable. You've got the space and, because that's one of the problems. Everything is so designed now for, well, it's really not designed for prayer. I mean, that sounds kind of odd to say that, but anyway, I'll just leave that alone before I get myself in trouble here. Let's go out to Regan Rescue Us here. Take it away.
Hey, Vince, I was listening to the caller earlier ask about where to go and still practice the prayer by kneeling, and I wanted to let you guys know that the Episcopal Church still practices prayer kneeling.
Okay. Well, that answers that question. The Episcopal Church. So there's an option for you. Thanks a lot for your call. We're not going to be able to do a lot with this. In fact, here's a texter. Come to any Episcopal church. We're on our knees to pray at least three times every service. Also, response on the school lunch thing. The government should not be in the business of school lunches. That's a waste of money. And the poor are getting food stamps anyway. If their parents cannot manage it to provide vital lunch for the children, it's simply tough luck for the child. Just the way it is. Ooh. Isn't it amazing how many things the federal government has gotten into? And he asks, where do you see that in the Constitution? And I'm not being, coarse or rude about this. I'm just, it's just very basic. I think the founding fathers, there's no question in my mind, they would be rolling around in their graves just to see the responsibilities the federal government's taken on that they have no business getting into. I love this. I get on my knees every morning at 10 a.m. and pray, please take this imbecile, Vince Coakley, off the air today. So far, my burdensome stone has not been lifted. Oh, my goodness. This is too much. Just too much. What else do we have here? I used to say my nighttime prayers after I went to bed. About a year ago, I was flashed a picture being on my knees for my nighttime prayers. So for me, reason God wanted me on my knees. Since then, I've prayed on my knees by my bed. We still get on our knees at my church. We still believe in true humility. Our church is in the Spartanburg area. Old-fashioned Methodists. Well, here's a question. Can you be on your knees and still not be humble? Just putting out that question.
Brady Cole was there for you.
Back in the final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program on this Tuesday, and Texter has correctly said, humility is from the heart, not the posture, which is not a knock on anybody, and whatever posture you would like to pray in is perfectly okay. I want to have somewhat of a reality check in the final segment of our broadcast. You've probably heard about this. A Supreme Court case, a review of Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. By the way, we'll try to get to some of your calls before the end of this broadcast. But again, this is an example of why we just never know a good part of the time what we're going to get on the court. The Supreme Court is actually staying out of the fight over efforts to block Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood. And do you know who cast the deciding vote? Do you want to take a guess, John?
No. Mitch McConnell?
No, this is on the Supreme Court.
Oh, Supreme Court. Oh, no, I already know who it is. I don't want to. Nah. I know who it is. You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Kavanaugh?
It's Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
The High Court rejected review of appeals from two states which claim the nation's largest abortion provider should not receive any public funding. After a series of disputed videos surfaced reportedly showing the group engaged in illegal sales of fetal tissue for medical research. Planned Parenthood does not receive any federal funding for abortion, but does provide a range of other medical and health services for poor families, including cancer screening and contraception. It was never charged in the fetal tissue issue, by the way. Lawmakers in Louisiana and Kansas sought to defund the group. Planned Parenthood then brought suit to overturn state laws in an effort to preserve its Medicaid services. It nauseates me to even say this sentence the way Fox wrote this story. Three conservative justices said in dissent Supreme Court should get involved in the legal fight. Three. Now, what's wrong with this picture? How many conservatives are supposed to be on the court? According to the media. You know, all the people were complaining and belly aching and whining. Oh, no, Roe versus Wade. It's the end of the world. It's going to go away. How many justices were in dissent in this case? Three. Clarence Thomas said these cases are not about abortion rights. They're about private rights of action under the Medicaid Act. Some tenuous connection to a politically fraught issue does not justify abdicating our judicial duty. Ooh, Clarence Thomas. And guess who supported him? Samuel Alito and Neil Gorsuch. By the way, I happened to be listening to another program today. And did you know that this guy, Brett Kavanaugh, was not on the list, that famous list that Donald Trump developed before he was actually inaugurated? Remember the list that he ran on, all the people he was going to appoint to the courts? Kavanaugh wasn't on there. And there's a good reason. And I've raised questions about this before about his conservative credentials. There are very strong questions. And here is another example. The six members voting to deny the petitions did not comment. That included the court's two other conservatives. And I hate to use this word to refer to Kavanaugh and John Roberts, who did not support taking on the issue now, effectively giving a victory to Planned Parenthood. Roberts and Kavanaugh. Remember the day that I, on this program, when Kavanaugh's name, before he was announced, I went through the list of the spectrum of names. Do you remember that? And where Kavanaugh's name was? On the conservative spectrum, he was very low, very low. Planned Parenthood, we're pleased lower court rulings protecting patients remain in place. Every person has a fundamental right to health care, no matter who they are, where they live, or how much they earn. This is nauseating. But the issue's dead now. Because you were one justice short. Congratulations. Now, again, remember I've talked about false binary choices? Wasn't it cool? By the way, Thomas Massey loved that intro. This is another example. Now, we could look at this and we can say the left was absolutely wrong about what they tried to do to Kavanaugh. Having said that, Kavanaugh may have been a bad choice at the same time. So both are true. You see what I'm talking about? Just because the left is wrong does not make the idea right. We're so confused, aren't we? I hope this is an anomaly. And I hope we see better out of Kavanaugh. But this is not a good sign. Just putting this out there. Bill, you got about a minute left or less.
Good morning, Vince. My call is in response to the woman, the caller, about churches that pray. I'd like to recommend Calvary Christian Church in Charlotte. Thank you.
Hey, simple enough. All right. This was the call about kneeling at church. So, all right. I'll tell you what. We need to do some serious praying for this country. I did not mean to depress you. That's not what I'm trying to do with this program. But we got to keep our eyes open. We got to be real. We got to be honest about what's really going on. And, you know, first off, politics is not going to solve our problems. Second off, the choices we've made, my goodness, maybe God can somehow transcend. Well, I know he can. Maybe he will transcend some of the choices we've made. We can only hope. Any case, have yourselves a great day and be safe out there. There are still some slick spots out there on the road. Be careful. Have a good one. God bless you.